We have two readings this evening, and the first one is found in the New Testament, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read that chapter in its entirety. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And then turning back to the beginning of our Bibles and to Genesis, and beginning at Genesis chapter 8 and at verse 20, reading through to verse 17 of chapter 9. So beginning in Genesis chapter 8 and at verse 20. And Noah building an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. And every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require it. The hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of every man, and at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah, and to his son, saying, And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, and of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth, with who, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature, and all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And we ask the Lord's blessing upon the public reading of his word. Amen. A little over a year ago, when I was last enabled to preach in this place, we began to have a look at some of the shall nots as they occur in the Word of God. Last time we looked at that shall not that occurs in Genesis at the start, when Satan, that great adversary, comes unto Eve and tempts her, and says that she shall not surely see death. In direct contradiction to that command that God had issued unto them both, not to eat from that tree. The first lie spoken or recorded in Scripture were those words, shall not. With the Lord's help this evening, I would have liked to consider another shall not. Again, found this book of Genesis, and I'm sure you've already guessed what that text is. And that shall not is found in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. A verse which I'm sure we all well know. We probably often quote it or make reference to it as we see the passings of the seasons. But this verse and the verses around it teach us much about God, about his person, about his long suffering and his mercy, his rule over the earth, his sovereignty, his unchangeableness. And when we hold it in light of the whole Word of God, it takes on a great significance, especially when we hold it in light of those verses that we read in 2 Peter. And this verse forms part of this covenant that God made with Noah. Noah had just left the ark after the world had been flooded. They had come forth from onto Mount Ararat. And Noah had made that sacrifice unto God. In verse 21, we read of the Lord taking note of that sacrifice. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any man's sake. And then God reveals unto Noah this covenant. But this covenant is not a covenant that is between God and Noah. It is a covenant that he established for all generations. And we must keep this in our mind as we begin to consider this verse. This covenant spoken unto Noah and unto his sons is for all. As we read in verse 12, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And we'll see in these verses that there are still implications for ourselves today when we consider that the Lord, our God, has said that while earth remaineth, these things shall not cease. When we consider the verses that follow, beginning of chapter 9, we will see there is much for our learning. We can consider the rainbow that we still see from time to time today, a reminder of this covenant, a reminder that it has been from the days of Noah. So what is considered, or what is in this covenant for our consideration? I'd like to begin by just focusing in on the content of verse 22 for our consideration to start with. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Here we have Almighty God declaring forth those goings on of the seasons, night and day, summer and winter time, harvest and sowing. These things are set forth. These things continue until today. We see the seasons come and go. We see one day come and go, followed by another. The months give way. The days give way to months, and the months give way to years. And these things continue. But this verse reminds us that while these things continue, this is just a mere outworking of God's goodness unto us. For he has set these things in motion. He has overruled that they should continue till now. And how easy is it for us to forget these things? How easy is it for us to take the morrow as given? It's so easy for us to say, Tomorrow, we shall do this. We shall do that. Next year, we plan to do this or that. But we must truly say, or add, if the Lord wills. It is so easy to presume upon these things. Rather, let us be careful to mark our days accordingly. For each one the Lord gives us, acknowledging that in his goodness he has brought each day into passing. That he has brought another season into passing. Summer, winter time, autumn, spring. Let us not be neglectful of those things. And indeed, even Solomon in that book of Ecclesiastes makes reference to the continuing of time. For what do we read in the opening chapter of Ecclesiastes and verse 4? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, yither they return again. Here, Solomon is making that observation that these things continue from one generation to the next. And just as they were in the days of Noah, today those seasons continue. But let us also consider what the natural man says concerning these things. For what do we consider this briefly in that reading in Peter, where we read and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fall asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The man of the world says all things continue as before. They won't even add since creation. They will assume that these things will be. They will seek to explain them by scientific method. But as we read in 2 Peter, they ignorantly assume these things. They do not take heed to them and their Maker. For it's interesting to note that little word that commences verse 22 of Genesis 8. While the earth remaineth. Here, in the beginning of the Bible, we learn that earth only has a limited history. Here we see at the start God setting forth that there will come a time when the world would be judged. The world had indeed just been judged at that time by water, that flood that came upon and wiped the most of mankind off the face of the earth, save 8 souls. He makes that promise in his covenant that he will never judge the world with water again. But we know there comes a day when seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night shall cease. As we read in 2 Peter, that speaks of that of the world being reserved unto a day of judgment. And how easy is it for us to assume that the world will continue, that tomorrow will come. But we're told that the Lord will return as a thief in the night. When we least expect it, he will come. The natural man, the man of the world, won't acknowledge it. Let each of us here this evening take note of that fact. That while this earth remaineth, these things shall not cease, but there cometh a day when they shall cease, as a thief in the night. And let us be found watching and praying for them. But what else might the worldly man say about this verse? He was to say to the worldly man, to the so-called learned scientist, that seed time and harvest continue, cold and heat, summer and winter. I'm sure they'd be quick to say, "Ah, there's no God. Look at what goes on. Look at the failed harvests. Look at how we experience floods today. Look at the destruction we see of habitats," they will say. And they will use this to rail against God or say there is no God. But they fail to acknowledge their Maker again. For who has control over these things but God? And we only have to consider other verses of Scripture to see how there are times when God can cause seed time and harvest to fail, when he brings extremes of weather. And one such occasion is in the days of King Ahab and that drought that was brought upon the land in the days of Elijah. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word." In the days of Ahab, God withheld rain for a period of time to bring Ahab that judgment, to bring him and teach him about the person of God and who he was. And just as in the days of Ahab, drought comes, it still comes today. We do not know what God's purposes are in bringing it. But let us remember that God ordains these things. But neither should these things be a surprise unto us. For what else do we have recorded at the beginning of Genesis but the fall of man, of sin and evil entering this world? And when we hold these events in the light of God's word, when we acknowledge God on one hand and we acknowledge that we live in a sinful and fallen world, we should not be shocked that there comes times of extreme weather, times of failed harvests, time of floods, times of other natural disasters, as man so calls them. But let us remember these things are outworked by God. And we only have to go into the end of chapter 9 of Genesis to see that despite that judgment that God had just brought Noah through, that sin still exists in this world. It has existed since then and continues to exist, a reminder that we live in a fallen and sinful world. As mentioned at the start, this covenant is not just between Noah and God, or Noah and his sons and God, but is that perpetual covenant for all generations. And what weight does this again add to verse 22? That these words are spoken by God and are still relevant unto us this day. And every person that has lived upon earth has experienced the blessings of the seasons coming and going, have reaped the benefits of harvest, have enjoyed the heat of summer, or maybe the cold of winter, of night and of day. How many have acknowledged God, who has established these things and has maintained them in his divine, in his sovereignty over this earth? And whether they acknowledge it or not, God has caused these things to continue. Man may sow seeds, and much fruit may be brought forth. He may have an abundance of food. He may say, I have provided this food. Man thinks that he is in control of what he produces. But we are reminded that these things are because of God and not of ourselves. We may just be those mere instruments in God's hand, used in the planting of seeds, in the harvesting of it. But it is God that gives the increase. It is God that brings each harvest to bear. And man will go to great lengths in providing food, in seeking to explain the world's weather systems, in what's going on in so-called climate change. Yet, he will not acknowledge God. Whether God provides for him, or whether God withholds these things from him, he will not acknowledge God. And we, who have that understanding by the grace of God, and acknowledge God as our Maker, let each of us be thankful for each passing day, for each passing season, and for each time we benefit from the food provided for us and everything that we receive. For God has provided them. And if all men experience these things, if all men have known the blessings of these things, of seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, night and day, and that these things continue, this should also remind us that since the days of Noah till now, God has withheld judgment from this earth. This speaks of God's mercy, that while this earth deserves to be judged, and there be many who deserve judgment, he continues till now to withhold his judgment. Shows us something of his long suffering
unto us that he has withheld that judgment. Something men presume upon or only even acknowledge. But we read in the epistle to Romans, in Romans chapter 2, and at verse 4, what do we read? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Or again, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? When we consider that the Lord has continued to bring those seasons to pass, each and every one, each day into being, it is only testament to his long suffering, of his withholding of divine judgment upon this earth. And for the unbeliever, this is a serious fact. For each day they go by and doing not acknowledge their Maker, they are a day closer to that grave. They do not know when the Lord will return. And it is a serious thing for any to presume upon these things, to take tomorrow for granted and not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. But what of ourselves, who can say this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour and can acknowledge him? How should we live in light of these verses? Can we not also be thankful for the long suffering of God and his mercy towards all? We should be thankful that he has extended that day of salvation when men and women can turn unto him. And do we give thanks each morning that God has given us another day, has extended that day when men may still seek him and he may be found? But what about the fact that we have been granted another day, another opportunity to serve him? Our brother this morning mentioned Paul, that apostle who is caused to serve. And what do we read of Paul in Philippians about serving? How he had that desire to depart and to be with God. But he realized that he had to abide. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose, what not? For I am in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Each day, each continuing month, year, season, summertime, harvest, winter, springtime, each one that we're granted is further opportunity for us as believers to serve him, to live out our lives according to his word. While we may and rightly should have that desire to depart and to be with him, we must, while these things continue and while we're upon this earth, continue to serve him. Are we not able to say with the hymn writer in that well-known hymn, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Each day God brings is another day where his mercy continues." And we only have to consider those events that end chapter 9 to see how sin continues. As I alluded to earlier, we can see how Noah fell into sin not long after this covenant was given. But God has withheld his wrath so far. We do not know how much longer he will withhold it. But the fact that the Lord God has granted this earth another day, indeed another Sabbath day today, should leave us in awe and wonder that in his kindness and goodness, he has withheld his hand from judgment another day. We must also ask ourselves, what implications do these things have for us today? The chapter break here after verse 22 doesn't always help, and we know the chapter verse breaks are uninspired. For after he gives that statement that these things shall not cease, he then issues some instructions or commands to Noah. We can learn something from these as well. For what do we have in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9? We have those instructions to Noah and his family to go forth, to multiply, and to populate the earth, for it may be replenished. But bearing in mind that this covenant is for all generations, here we see that command for the bringing forth of children. Is not this something that is much neglected in this day and age? Again, the scientist says the world is overpopulated. But even of recent, we've heard how declining populations are beginning to affect some nations in this world, in direct contradiction to God's command. Men and women have ceased from marriage and from the rearing of children. And we must acknowledge that the procreation of children in a stable marriage relationship is of positive benefit even in this day and age too. In verses 2 and 3, we have God given instruction that animals may be eaten. It's the first time in the Word of God where we find animals being mentioned as being fit for meat. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but we do not know what purpose that was for. Clearly, he used one of those sheep for sacrifice, and that may have been the reason why. However, here we see God giving explicit instruction that living things may be slaughtered and eaten for food. Again, we further see God's wisdom and his provision in providing food for us and for people upon this earth. We also have in verses 4 through to 6 about the shedding of innocent blood and how murder is not to be committed. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man. Here we have that commandment, thou shalt not kill, along with the punishment for breaking that commandment set forth. It's interesting to note that this is the first time we see this set forth, despite murder already being committed in the Word of God. For when we consider the case of Cain and Abel, and Cain who murdered his brother in that moment, he was marked out as being a murderer, with that saying that whoever killed him shall have vengeance upon him sevenfold. Yet here we see God setting forth that from now on, that punishment for murder, God laying down rules for the proper ordering of society. And when we see so much at this time in the mainstream news speaking about politics and elections, how many, I wonder, will dare to stand up and say that the death penalty is still relevant to this day and age? This covenant was to be for all generations. Let none forget this. And what terror to evil would the magistrate be if those in authority heeded such words as these? And then in verse 7, we have that further instruction to be fruitful and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. But in being fruitful, let us not concern ourselves just with the procreation of children, but let's think about other ways of being fruitful. We know that the Christian life is to be one of fruitfulness, and that there are fruits that are to come forth in the Christian life. But what about our day-to-day labours? Are we fruitful in that? Our day-to-day work, do we seek to labour? For this is also a command for all men. 6 days thou shalt labour, we are told in the Ten Commandments. And what idleness exists today. Men want more leisure time than ever for each day that they're granted. Men have quit the workplace. And we read and hear how companies struggle to recruit. Man has failed to keep these commands. We could go through these commands in more detail. We could carry on through chapter 9 and consider more of these things. But this only brings greater weight to these verses. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The fact that men have failed to keep these commands, have failed in every aspect, yet God has kept his side of that promise, is further testament to his long suffering and unto his mercy unto all men. But let us return to verse 22. And ask ourselves, in light of verse 22, what manner of persons ought we to be? For while this earth does continue, let us not be ignorant that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. And I'm sure we can all become complacent from time to time and assume on the morrow. But we know that this world is reserved unto a day of judgment. And we know that there comes a day when these things shall cease. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, we're told. The world, as we know, will end. We considered how these commands issued to Noah were for all mankind, how they've been maligned and neglected. But we must ask ourselves, how are we living while these things continue? While these things are not ceasing? Do we, while these things continue, give thanks each day for those new mercies, for his goodness unto us each morning, at the end of each day, thanking him for bringing us through another day safely and watching over us? Are we given to holy conversation, as we read in 2 Peter? Are we given to godliness? That holiness of living is not to be put off in this day and while these things continue. We are to live holy and godly lives. What about the assembling of ourselves together? For while these things continue, we should continue to assemble ourselves together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching, and we know there comes a day, we do not know when, we should so much more seek to assemble ourselves together as we see that day approaching. And not only these things, are we looking for that day? Are we looking for the hastening of that day when our Saviour will return? For us it should bring great comfort. For while we acknowledge these things continue, and rightfully so, and consider that these things have not ceased, let's not take them for granted. But let us acknowledge that the Lord has sustained this earth until now, and will continue to sustain it until he comes again. For the unbeliever, let them not take these words to mean shall not cease for granted, for to do so only puts them in greater risk of that day. But let any who do not know the Lord turn unto him in repentance while he may yet be found. Do not presume upon this cease not, for we never know when the Lord will return, and each and every one will be called to give an account before their Maker. Let none in that day be found without Christ. But for those of us who have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us take great comfort in this, while and shall not cease. We may say that while these things continue, the world grows worse and worse, but it is only a hastening unto that day. So while we should be thankful each day for new mercies, while we should be thankful for each season, for each harvest, for our day-to-day provisions, let's be mindful that each day for the Christian is a day's march nearer home, and that when this world ends, it will give away to night and day. And there will be that one continual day, as we were only reminded on Thursday evening in the book of the Revelation and chapter 22 verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, The Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever. May each of us, while these things continue, be brought safely unto that eternal Sabbath upon high. Amen. As we draw close to another day that we're thankful unto the Lord for, let us take up our hymn books and sing that hymn 883 that speaks to the close of the day. Glory to thee, my God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep me, O keep me, kings of kings, beneath thine own almighty wings. Hymn number 883.
Teach me to live that I dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the judgment day. Serve my God when I awake. If in the night I sleepless lie, my soul with heavenly thoughts supply. Let no ill dreams disturb my rest, no powers of darkness me molest. Praise God from whom all sins flow, praise Him all creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We thank thee, Lord, for this another day that thou hast granted unto us. We thank thee we can testify unto thy mercy, kindness, and goodness unto us. And now we do pray that unto him may both be glory now and forever. Amen. Amen.